The census is still being counted across the nation as organizers struggle with the rest of us to ensure that the job is done. Michigan census returns are higher than the national average, but the city of Detroit is behind the national average, and the city's count is behind where it was 10 years ago with the last census. Here to help us wrap our arms around this monumental collection of data is Kurt Metzger. He's founder and director emeritus of Data Driven Detroit. He's also the mayor of Pleasant Ridge in southeast Michigan. Kurt, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
So maybe we should start right at the beginning and just outline, why is the census important?
The most important, and we talk about that a lot, is the whole idea that the census determines political representation. Census is used to determine the number of seats in Congress that go to each state, and then is used for the redistricting of all U.S. congressional seats, state and local legislatures. The city of Detroit uses for their districts. Other cities use wards and others. And so they use the actual counts to redistrict all those areas. But then also the most important is the whole funding mechanism. One number that's often repeated is each person represents $1,800 per year for their community. And that's, you know, kind of cobbled together from a number of federal programs. So programs for food programs, education programs, another number of programs that are both population-based and demographic-based, all come out of census numbers. And it is that one shot, right? You can, certainly the Census Bureau does estimates and they do a survey, an annual survey. But in terms of dollars distributed and political representation and a number of other things, it is that census count every 10 years that determines those.
We've been losing congressional representation and the number of seats that we have steadily over the past few decades. But I believe it was the last census 10 years ago that Michigan ended up being the only state that lost population and didn't gain any population, not just the share of the population, but the number of people. Where do you sense that things are going for the state with this census? Will we continue to see that backslide in the pure number of people who live here?
Based on estimates, we are nearing that 10 million mark again. We had fallen below 10 million. So we are seeing a slight growth. Yeah, the last decade, Michigan and Rhode Island, I think, might have lost a few people, but Michigan was the big loser. This time we're going to see a gain, but it's a gain so small relative to other states in the country that we will continue to lose representation. In 1970, we had 19 congressional seats, and we have lost every decade since then. And presumably we are expecting that after this census finally gets done, we will be down to 13 seats. We will lose one more, even though we've gained population, but certainly we're not gaining population anywhere near what the South and the Southwest states are doing.
So tallying everybody in the nation is a monumental undertaking, and it does seem that every 10 years we're sort of faced with the same struggle to make sure that everybody is counted. Does this year seem, this decade seem different to you, or would you say that the struggles remain the same?
Well, many of the struggles remain the same, but this whole process is just so different than what we've had. This is going to be my fifth census. I started working for the Census Bureau back in the early 70s. So I was there for the 1980 census was the first one, and have been involved with the census ever since then in various capacities. Certainly this census is very, you know, as it was being prepared long before we knew that COVID-19 was going to change the dynamics of just about everything. The census for the first time was going to be an internet-based, that we were going to have three different ways to respond. You could respond certainly the traditional way, filling out a questionnaire, but you also were going to be able to dial in on the internet or call in. And so there were three different ways to respond. And the census started mailing out questionnaires and mailing out information as to how you could connect back on March 12th. And everything seemed pretty good at that moment. And the whole setup was to follow the various procedures that you would have the self-response period of time, after which the Census Bureau would send out enumerators to follow up on those households that didn't respond. And there were the processes of going to group quarters like dormitories and prisons and others to count the people. And also we had homeless and people in shelters, et cetera. And it was a very nicely set up as we've done in previous, but the whole idea of internet-based was going to add a whole new element. And then with the pandemic, everything started to change. And all those dates were thrown out the window, and we are now so different than what we've been in the past. Certainly in terms of the pandemic's effects.
So it seems like it would be sort of bittersweet in some ways that the system is changing this time around, in that there was likely to be some sticky points just going to a different format, being online, and most people submitting themselves in a digital capacity. But then again, the digital sphere seems perfectly appropriate during a pandemic.
Right. It certainly has added that element that you could respond without having to, that you wouldn't have to be involved with enumerators coming to your house or something like that. And certainly it made it much easier in many respects, but it also quickly pointed out, as we've seen in terms of discussions around online education and everything else, we found out where internet wasn't accessible, those communities. So often the communities that have been hard to count in the past are communities that also don't have broadband, or there isn't wide internet usage, or if there is, it's smartphones and people aren't sitting around waiting to answer a questionnaire on their smartphones. And so we've seen broad differences among communities in terms of the Census Bureau releases every day response rates for all cities, villages, townships, counties, states, and even down to census tract level. And along with their response rate, they will tell you what percentage of the responses have come on the internet. And you'll see tremendously varying numbers. So in Ann Arbor would be very high, Detroit would be quite low, Highland Park would be even lower. And you really see the haves and the have-nots showing up in terms of census response. And it also affects, these are the communities that were going to be difficult anyway because of living arrangements, because of high percentage of persons of color, because of communities with large numbers of immigrants, many undocumented, all the other issues that play out in some of these communities that we expected to be difficult. Internet was not necessarily the answer, because we found that the internet was not relatively available throughout the community.
Mm-hmm. Well, in 2018, the Trump administration also announced that it wanted to add a citizenship question to the census that ultimately did not make it onto the questionnaire. But the maybe the lingering effects of even putting out there that there would be a citizenship question still would remain. Do you think that this is going to have an impact, or is having an impact on the count at all?
Oh, I think definitely. I mean, I think they, they got their point across. I think there was fear anyway among, and there has been, again, this is not new for the 2020 census. We saw it in 2010. We've seen it before. There's a lack of trust in government across the board that's only gotten worse over the last decade. It was terrible in 2010 because of the foreclosure crisis and all the other issues that were going on. But the Trump administration's targeting of immigrants in all the ways that they've done that has just bred fear throughout the communities. And then when they threw this idea of adding a question and then lied bald-faced lies from the Secretary of Commerce about why that question was being requested, and then luckily thrown out in the Supreme Court, although not as well as, you know, strongly as it should have been. There's a lingering fear that the Trump administration, no matter what, is going to figure out some way to use the census to get back at immigrants. And I think that a lot there are a lot of people that don't even realize to this day that citizenship question isn't on the census, but they assume even if it isn't, there are other ways that they're going to be targeted. And I think that's obviously suppressing the vote for them. And it's accomplishing exactly what the Trump administration wanted to do.
The state overall is reporting higher than the national average in Michigan. And we're also doing better at this time of the year than we were 10 years ago at the same time. Mm-hmm. But that hasn't been the case in the city of Detroit. And I wonder, first, if we're seeing that anywhere else aside from the city of Detroit, and also what the causes would be that we are seeing this lag in the city compared to the rest of the state.
Yeah, Michigan has been running third in the country in terms of response rates. So as of yesterday, it was 68.3%. And so that ranks at third in the country behind Minnesota and Wisconsin, good old Midwest. But we have found that, as was expected, we always talk, the census always prepares communities of color. There are undercounts. They are difficult to enumerate. This time around, back in 2010, I complained a great deal about the fact that the city of Detroit was not getting ready for the census. Obviously, there was a lot of change at the top, and there was so much else going on in the city that they were not geared up. They didn't have the resources. They weren't interested in doing the census. It was going to be, I felt, the hardest census that they had had because of foreclosure, because of issues around immigration, because of a number of other issues. And sure enough, the 2010 population came in, and it was much lower than was even than most experts had expected. This time around, Mayor Duggan and his staff really basically looked at it as an election. I mean, they really pulled all the stops, and they prepared a tremendous outreach effort. They put people throughout the city to do early canvassing to make sure that they had the most accurate household counts, address counts. They had all kinds of activities set up. And really, it was a recognition by Mayor Duggan that the census was critical to Detroit's future in terms of income, in terms of resources, in terms of its standing in the country as it's continued to drop. It's going to be soon drop out of the top 25 cities in the country. All that was done away with once the pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. And so everything that they set up, you know, there was still obviously media outreach, and there were other ways to get at people, but it really was for Detroit and for communities of color, it's that high touch. You have to get out there. You have to be knocking on doors. You have to be meeting people where they are. You have to go to community events. You have to really pull people together because they just, as you asked, I mean, folks are not necessarily seeing the census the way maybe I do, or the statisticians, or the politicians, or anybody else. They don't really necessarily see the importance. They don't see how it affects them. They're not really seeing the federal government as caring one iota about their situation. They don't see the schools necessarily being improved, or at least an infusion of money. They don't see money coming into their neighborhoods. So it's that real direct connection between the census and their future and the city's future is kind of a difficult concept. And so it really requires people to get out there, people to hear from people they trust. So hearing information in the churches has always been one of the major ways of reaching out to people. And so churches were closed. So that's the hard part. And so we've seen Detroit just reached 48% response rate as of yesterday. We're still below 50%. And you asked, I was looking at some numbers just because that's what I do, right? and so I looked at communities that have the major communities that are below 60% response rate. And they represent about, it's about 12 communities, and they represent 10% of the state's population, but they represent 51% of the state's African-American population. They represent 16% of the state's Latino population, and only 2.3% of the state's white population. So we're seeing right off the bat that the low response rates are really affecting communities of color. And if I were to add poverty to that, you'd see the same kind of thing. It's those communities that need the resources that come from census counts. And they are woefully behind in terms of response rates. And just one point is response rates are based on addresses. That's the thing. It's not on people. So in many of these older communities and many of these minority communities, you have large numbers of vacancies as well. So it's not just people not responding. It's also a large number of vacancies that will not be figured into the response rate until we're able to send enumerators out to follow up. So,
but that might be hard to do this year. I mean, we might not see enumerators really making their way out into the field. Is that true?
Well, the way they've got it right now is that enumerators were supposed to be out there and finished by July 31st. That was the original.
Okay.
You know, I mean, we're talking about the census is April 1st, right? We're supposed to count people April 1st. They've now moved that response follow-up to end in October 31st. So we're going to be having people out there in October knocking on doors of homes and asking people who did you live there on April 1st?
Right.
I mean, it's going to be total confusion. And certainly in communities like Detroit and other low income communities, you have people moving. And now if we have foreclosures and if we have evictions and those kinds of things, that's going to add to the difficulties. So it's this whole, the whole delay in the process is going to make it even more confusing. It's going to make it more difficult to count. It's going to make it more difficult to get to that final rate. And it's going to, I believe, certainly add to potential undercounts going forward.
We've talked about this moment creating what could potentially be considered a very lost year for most students that go to the classroom. Do you feel like this could be a lost census in some ways, or do you hold out more hope than that?
Well, I think it's going to be, you know, if Trump is talking about questioning the results of the election, I think we're going to be doing a lot of questioning the results of the census. And the thing is, there's no way that we're going to be able to correct it. There are no, you know, the courts have said we can't do statistical adjustment of the census. They will, after the census is over, presumably they will still do what they call, you know, kind of a check. They'll do selected counts, kind of a survey to get an idea of what potential undercounts there are, but there's no way to adjust that. So I think in many communities, I don't know with the other kinds of procedures that are all delayed, what exactly we're going to be able to finish. I mean, the process is so much delayed, and when they do finally send people out, how is that going to work? So I agree. I think it's going to be a lost census in many ways, but we are going to have to live with it regardless. The numbers will be written in stone come, well, the state is now, state numbers are now not due until April 30th instead of December 31st. And the detailed information for redistricting is now, instead of April 1st, will be out July 31st, of 2021. Those are the numbers we'll use. Those are the numbers will be used for redistricting. Those will be the numbers that people will use when they're doing business locations and everything else, and the funding.
It'll still be the official count. Yeah.
Yeah, I expect a lot of problems, but it is what it is again, and we'll have to live with it.
Kurt Metzger is the founder and director emeritus of Data Driven Detroit. He's also the mayor of the city of Pleasant Ridge. Kurt, thank you so much for joining us.
Certainly my pleasure. Thank you.